This morning, we turn to the third chapter of Mark's Gospel, early in Mark's Gospel, early in Jesus' public ministry, and encounter a very unexpected event. If you are able to stand to hear the story today and to receive the Gospel, please do so now. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, Jesus has gone out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebul, and by the father of demons, he casts out demons. And Jesus called them to himself, and he spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man, and indeed the house can be plundered. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been stuck in traffic behind a really slow-moving vehicle? That's a silly question, isn't it? Have you ever? Of course you have. It can be one of the most irritating, frustrating experiences that we can count on from day to day. Especially if you're running late for worship, or late for an appointment, or late for anything that you're trying to get done. Well, in Southern California, there's a place near San Diego where one highway leads onto another one. And as you get onto the second highway, you're facing a long upward grade. And at the bottom of that hill, getting onto the highway, at the bottom of that hill, there is a cement plant. And cement trucks get on the highway there just as they need to make their way up the grade. So you can imagine there are a lot of angry people at that point on the highway because they get behind those cement trucks. One day there was a particular woman who found herself on that highway behind a big yellow and red cement truck. The truck was traveling so slowly to get up the hill that she had to watch the tread on the tire to make sure it was actually moving. It seemed to take forever as the truck slowly climbed the hill. And she was stuck behind it. The traffic in the other lane was moving so quickly, she couldn't nose out and get around him. So she followed him for some distance, fuming the whole way, getting angrier with each passing second. Well, finally her opportunity came, though, when she could get her car out into the left lane and pass this cement truck. As she came up beside the driver, she looked up, hoping to catch his eye so that she could give him, well, whatever she had in mind to give him with her mouth or her hand at that moment. But as she looked up at him, she noticed he was already looking down at her. And he was smiling at her. But it was not only him, but she also saw in the truck window a hand puppet that this driver was waving at her with and smiling the whole time. And all of a sudden, her dismay and her anger evaporated. And she started laughing, just like you just did. She started laughing. And her response to that unexpected gesture was one of laughter. And she found herself no longer upset. And she has confessed since then that when she drives that highway in the mornings on her way to work now, she looks for that red and yellow cement truck, hoping to get behind him or beside him again. Not what you would have expected in such a situation. You might have expected angry gestures or angry words to be exchanged. But life is full of those times, isn't it? When the unexpected happens. Sometimes unexpected things bring unanticipated joy and laughter. Sometimes unexpected things are tragic and sad. But that was one of the things that Jesus faced. That was one of Jesus' problems. He wasn't what people expected. And when people pulled up next to Jesus and were in his presence and got close to him, they discovered that what they encountered there, what they heard and what they saw was unexpected. He was in an unconventional ministry aimed at people like fishermen and tax collectors and criminals, not the elite of his time. Not the expected target of a rabbi's ministry. In spite of Jesus' astounding popularity, it was clear that he was charting his own course. He was going his own way. He was playing up to no one. Some of his teachings contradicted the conventional wisdom of his time. He was an unexpected leader in an unexpected way at an unexpected time. So often, when we read the gospel stories about Jesus, we read them matter-of-factly. One of our problems is we know them so well that we can recite some of them. We just hear the first few words and we know what the story is going to be. And we have lost our awareness of how radical and how unexpected and how unpredictable the things were that Jesus did and Jesus said. For example, when Jesus and his followers were in Jerusalem from time to time, as we read in the Gospels, they would frequent the temple. Of course, as all Jews in that time would do, that's what they went to Jerusalem for. To go to the temple, to worship there, to make sacrifices to God, to hear the teaching of the famous, the great rabbis there. One of the things that made Jesus so unpopular in Jerusalem was that he was bringing all that rabble, all those unsavory characters into the temple. The temple, mind you, where things were carefully prescribed. And orderly and neat and traditional. One of the reasons why Jesus cleared the temple, you remember that great story, don't you? One of the reasons why he drove the money changers out of the temple was not only that they were charging exorbitant fees for their services, but he chased them out because they were keeping things all neat and orderly and accepted, attending to the prophets, but not attending to the people, attending to making money. But not attending to the people. And Jesus needed to clear them out. Certain scribes were, and leaders of the Jews were trying to impugn Jesus' acts of healing. Jesus was going around the countryside, even early on, healing people and casting out their demons. And the religious leaders were disturbed not only at what Jesus was doing, but at his escalating popularity. People were thronging to hear him and see him everywhere he went. It is said that he can cast out demons, they declared. And defensively, the scribes replied, well, no wonder he can cast out demons. He himself is possessed by one. By Beelzebul, they said. And Jesus countered them. He challenged them and exposed the flaw in their criticism. How can Satan cast out Satan, he said. If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, it will fall. And if Satan rises up against himself, his end has come. Even Jesus' own family, those closest to him, did not understand what he was up to. And they were very concerned about him. They heard disturbing reports. They heard the things that the religious leaders and some of the ruling class were saying about Jesus. It was so radically new and so unexpected that they thought Jesus had gone out of his mind. In some places it says that. In Mark's gospel, in other places it says they thought he was beside himself. So when he came home, his family came to see him. They sought him out to take charge of him. He had frankly become an embarrassment. Jesus really wasn't what they expected a rabbi to be. Jesus certainly wasn't what they expected the Messiah to be. And that thread thread runs through his entire ministry. People had a different expectation of what a rabbi would do and how a faithful Jew would teach and what the Messiah would look like. And Jesus didn't fit any of those expectations, plain and simple. There were certain things that they wanted from their Messiah, and Jesus didn't seem to be attending to those things. He had others in mind. It's like a man named Will. A reporter was interviewing Will one day and asked him if he went to church. All the time, Will replied. I'm in church all the time. He replied as he was wiping the mud off his cowboy boots. I find that church happens everywhere and with some frequency. Well, the reporter thought that Will had misunderstood the question. So he asked, what do you do on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock? Do you attend a church service? Oh, Will said, you mean, do I go to those steeples? I thought you wanted to know if I went to church. Then Will invited this particular reporter to come and have lunch with him. So they got in his truck and they drove for several miles till they arrived at a crossroad which featured one of those places you find at old country crossroads. It was a building that was a combination service station, convenience store, and restaurant. And so they went in and sat down, and the reporter noticed that the place was pretty well empty. They found a table in the middle of the restaurant. And just a few minutes later, some construction workers came in and started to sit around some of the tables. Now that reporter had hoped to continue his earlier conversation with Will about church, but he was unable to do so because people kept interrupting. One man stepped over and thanked Will for performing his sister's wedding. And another man came by and reminded Will to visit his mother in the hospital. And a third one stepped over and asked Will if he would mind making some time to talk with his wife because they were having some problems. And for almost an hour, people came and asked Will to perform the functions of a pastor. And each time, Will responded. At 1 o'clock, an hour later, the restaurant was pretty well empty again as all the workers had gone back out to their jobs. And Will silently finished his sandwich and said, well, church is over for today. Let's go home. Well, people like that, people like Will, might not fit many people's expectations of a pastor. But he had a ministry and a church just like I do. It was configured a bit differently. It looked a bit different, maybe unexpected ways. But in him and in that place and in that time, God was present and God was active. It's difficult to put Jesus into a box and say, this is who he is, this is what he does, this is what God looks like. Even today, Jesus can be an embarrassment to many who know him best. Have you heard some of the things that Jesus has told us to do? Love your enemies. Well, you know, we live in a time when our enemies and our nation's enemies are pretty prominent. pretty easy to identify. And I hear them described and demeaned an awful lot around on the news and in personal conversations, especially among those who have friends and neighbors who are deployed in military assignments. I hear us talking about our enemies. And are we talking about them in the ways that Jesus commands us to? In loving ways? Not very often. Love your enemies, Jesus said. Another thing he said was, turn the other cheek. Well, when someone hurts you or hurts somebody you love, I bet turning the other cheek doesn't come to you very easily. Doesn't to me. Doesn't occur to us right off the bat. One of those things that's most difficult for us to do is not to retaliate and not to lash back if someone hurts us or someone we love. Turning the other cheek is one of the most prominent things that Jesus said, and one of the things that he most clearly expects of us. How about, blessed are the poor? Lots of poor among us. Seems like there's more now than there have been before. And we talk about them, and we stand behind them in the line at the grocery store. And the things that we think and the things that we say are not blessings. But Jesus expects us to do and to think and to say and to act in such ways that the poor are blessed among us. Jesus, it's hard to put him in a box and to say this is who he is and to claim that we follow him and live after his commands and his expectations in ways that clearly identify us as his people. The things that Jesus says to us are unexpected things. Things that just don't fit right and feel right, but clearly his expectations and his commands. Fiorello LaGuardia was the mayor of New York during the Depression in the 1930s. And LaGuardia was quite a character. They eventually named an airport after him, as you know. But during his time, he caught everybody's attention. He was the unexpected mayor of New York. He would ride the city fire trucks waving to people. Not to campaign, just in an afternoon when things were slow. He would stop by an orphanage in the city and take all the kids to a baseball game. And whenever the city newspapers went on strike, LaGuardia would get on the radio and read the Sunday comics to the kids. Well, one bitter cold night in 1935, Mayor LaGuardia turned up in night court. And it was the particular court that served the poorest ward in his city. And he dismissed the judge, sent him home to spend the evening with his family, and the mayor took the bench himself. After he heard a few cases, before him was brought a tattered old woman accused of stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her and her daughter was sick and the grandchildren were starving, and so she had to get something for them to eat. But the shopkeeper from whom the bread was stolen insisted on pressing charges. "My store is in a very bad neighborhood," he said, "Mr. Mayor. She's got to be punished in order to teach other people a lesson, because if I let her get away with taking something from my store, pretty soon I won't have anything left on the shelves." Well, the mayor turned uncomfortably in his seat and he sighed. He looked at the old woman and said, "Well, I've got to punish you. That's the law. And the law makes no exception. $10 or 10 days in jail." But even as he spoke, the mayor was reaching around and pulling his wallet from his own pocket. And he passed a $10 bill over to the treasurer. "Here's the woman's fine," he said. "And furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a city where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. And he instructed the bailiff to go around and collect the fines from everybody who was sitting or standing there. The following day, the New York Times reported that $47.50 was turned over to the bewildered old woman. It was given to her by a red-faced store owner and some 70 petty criminals and people with traffic violations and city policemen. And as the mayor handed over their money to the old woman, they all gave him a standing ovation. That's how it is in God's world. Expect the unexpected. Whether you're dealing with Jesus himself or dealing with Jesus' people, expect the unexpected. Just when it seems like all hope is lost and all goodness and mercy have left us, then the great judge will come and set things right, deciding for the hungry and the meek of the earth. Sometimes the great God of the ages works miraculously, making things happen in ways that we cannot explain and we cannot expect, setting things right. But more often than that, the great God of the ages works in disguise, coming to us looking suspiciously like a mom or a dad or a sister or a brother or a friend, working through people like you or me, dispensing justice and mercy and hope and compassion through us to others in need. Remember, it was because of acts like that that Jesus' family, his mother and his other family members, were concerned about him. They thought he was overdoing it a bit. They thought he was out of his mind. They came to talk some sense into him and possibly take him home with them for a while to get him straightened out. Same sort of thing happens today when people take Jesus' teaching and Jesus' commands literally and do them as he told us to do them. Love your enemies. You've heard what we say about people who take that seriously, don't you? Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Blessed are the poor. Because of saying things like that Jesus' family came to take charge of him. And they tried to do the same to us when we attempt to live out Jesus' instructions and commands. Those of us who are the religious officials still get uncomfortable sometimes. Those of us who think we have Jesus all figured out become deeply distressed. You can't put Jesus in a box and say, this is who he is and nothing more. Jesus was not what the people of his time expected. Even his own family was embarrassed by him. He was a very complex man, not the kind of person you can easily define and describe. But one thing we know, everything he did, every lesson he taught, every indignity that he suffered, was designed to bring you and me home to God's family. Amen.